This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. The University of Northern British Columbia hosts a series of speakers each semester, occurring nearly every Friday. Topics are of global concern and include food for thought concerning local action. Visiting Prince George, Friday, November 24th, is Dr. Kim Richard Nossel, Professor Emeritus at the Center for International and Defense Policy at Queen's University. His topic, Canada Alone? The Enduring Challenge of America First, centers around the effects of the United States returning to a protectionist or isolationist policy, which is to say, a national policy of avoiding political or economic entanglements with other countries. Such policies can result in all kinds of trade restrictions. On the ground, here in Prince George, that can lead to things like tariffs on softwood lumber, a concept that has impacted our local economy at least since the 1990s. Getting into the weeds with us on this topic is Dr. Kim Nossel. We take you to our recorded conversation with him now.
The softwood lumber dispute goes, as you say, way back to the 1990s and very much reflects not so much an isolationist perspective in the United States, but a protectionist perspective, essentially wanting to ensure that American producers of softwood lumber, notably folks in Georgia, are protected against the cheaper and, bluntly put, better quality lumber that comes from Canada. Canadian governments, both liberal and conservative, have tried really hard to create a kind of permanent settlement of this ongoing dispute, and with some success. The Harper government managed to produce an agreement, but the fact is that the American softwood lumber industry is incredibly well-placed and very influential, and they essentially have been able to keep this issue on the table. That is going to be there regardless of who wins the election in 2024. The problem is that a Democratic administration will treat the lumber issue very differently than a Republican America First MAGA administration. And that, in essence, is the key problem for our lumber producers in Canada.
And we were also under the impression that free trade agreements prevent these disputes from influencing things so dramatically. Formerly, we had NAFTA. Now we have USMCA. Are these policies in place to protect against unexpected tariffs on goods that we trade across the border between Canada, USA, and Mexico? Kind of under the impression that such a thing wouldn't affect the local economy here in Prince George so much, but it continues to.
The renegotiated NAFTA, which is, by the way, called different things in different countries. It's called TMEC in Mexico, USMCA in the United States, and CUSMA in Canada, in that simply because Mr. Trump wanted to put America first. So the renegotiated USMCA, we'll call it, is essentially not going to protect the softwood lumber industry in Canada. After all, it was during the Biden administration that the U.S. slapped yet another tariff on U.S. on Canadian softwood. And essentially, the impact on the American consumer is the one that suffers the most. But essentially, the renegotiated NAFTA is no protection against the imposition of tariffs.
Interesting. So if we are to come upon another America First, be it isolationist or protectionist policy, what kind of reality would we be looking at in a place like Prince George, where so much of our economy is reliant upon raw materials from mining or forestry?
Let's put it this way. The fact is that what we produce in Canada, including in northern British Columbia, material that's wanted by American consumers. You'll note that because of the high quality of Canadian softwood lumber, there is a persistent demand for it in the American market. Now, the United States government can slap tariffs on, but the reality is that American builders want Canadian goods. American manufacturing wants Canadian raw materials. And so the United States government can try and impose these kinds of tariffs. It's not altogether clear that it's going to have particularly negative consequences on Canadian producers. Where you will find the negative consequences is if, in fact, the tariffs go into a kind of a punitive tariff as opposed to a sort of a protectionist tariff. And here we've got to worry, not only the folks in Prince George, but across the country, because if we get another Republican administration in power in Washington in January of 2025, that administration is going to be looking at Canada, and not in a pleasant way. There are going to be lots of efforts to punish Canada for all sorts of things, including the fact that our Prime Minister and Trump do not get on at all. In short, the effects go well beyond primary producers like the ones that you find in the northern BC economy.
In our northern region, our population density isn't all that large, and our voices are not particularly loud. However, if our local economy was so devastated that a third or more of our workforce was laid off indefinitely due to not being able to compete in the North American economy, I would think, though, that our voice would be loud enough and it would take the attention of the eyes in Ottawa, be pretty primary in making some influential policies and decisions.
If that happens, if the worst case scenario that you describe is happening in northern British Columbia, it's going to be happening across the country. I would not have a concern that these kinds of economic effects would have such a highly targeted effect. I think that if the U.S. administration imposes the kind of tariffs that Mr. Trump is promising, and keep in mind, he is promising to, first day in office, introduce a flat across the board 10% tariff on everything that comes into the United States, no matter from where. That would have a huge impact on everyone, and certainly everyone in Canada.
That's a massive economic policy.
Absolutely. And keep in mind, there's not a great deal that folks outside the United States can actually do about it, which is one of the reasons why the prospect of a Trump administration is creating such general fears and concerns. Check out the cover story of this week's Economist magazine, published out of the UK. It talks about Trump as the singular most important threat to the world.
That takes me to perhaps the most important question I have for you, Dr. Nossel. What can we do within Northern BC, Prince George, to counter this type of thing? Should we be focusing on localized manufacturing, or perhaps focus on a isolationist policy of our own?
There's a kind of a protectionist logic that suggests itself. The problem is that, as is quite clear, the Canadian market is simply too small. We are a trading nation. We're an export nation. And so that idea of either creating a little autarky of our own, where we're just simply producing primary products for our own market, just wouldn't work. I mean, we're 40 million people. The kind of market for primary goods is just simply not there. Likewise, we've tried in the past to diversify our marketplace for our exports, trying hard to find markets in other parts of the world so that we're not so dependent on the United States. But that actually is difficult. And Canadians have, despite trying over an extended period of time, haven't been able to successfully diversify our marketplace. We depend on our relationship with the United States. We started the post-1945 era increasingly dependent on the U.S., and that dependence has simply been maintained. Bluntly put, there actually isn't a great deal that can be done along the lines that you're suggesting.
Ouch.
Oh, absolutely ouch. And that's one of the reasons why Canadians, not only in primary producing areas of the country or parts of the economy, but Canadians generally can only essentially hope that in November of 2024, that enough of Americans will get out and vote. And keep in mind that there are 240 million American voters, but in 2022, only 110 million of those bothered to go out and vote. And so we Canadians can hope that many more tens of millions of Americans will vote in 2024 than they did in 2022, and that they'll vote for the right guy.
Apathy is a very challenging thing to address. We've got increasing tensions within our international relations. We have increasing tensions with India. China is difficult. And if we are looking at the United States of America, that could also become increasingly difficult. To me, that means kind of to look to who else we could trade with to be conceivable large partners. I'm thinking of South America, Indonesia, Australia, Europe. Am I missing a critical piece of this as far as barriers between connecting with other nations in terms of trade?
It's not so much barriers as how the global economy works. I mean, the countries that you have mentioned are essentially often competing with Canada for export markets. Keep in mind that the Europeans, we've tried very hard to diversify our markets to sell more to Europe. But the reality is that the Europeans aren't really interested in anything other than that what the kind of raw materials that we have now. The fact is that there could be a market for some of our natural resources, particularly minerals and from the mining sector up north, or liquid natural gas. But the fact is that we would have to have a rather large change in policy in order to do some of those things.
Understood. Well, thank you for that.
I'm talking to you from Whitehorse. And the fact is that there are huge chunks of this country where the kind of primary industry that is there in Prince George is crucial for the local economies of different places, and certainly Whitehorse, Yellowknife, Inuvik are all in that category. But I think that what one needs to also do is to look a little more broadly at, in particular, the urban and populated areas. And really, I guess that my message was really all of us are going to be affected in a negative way by a protectionist, isolationist, Republican America First administration in different ways. I mean, you know, I think that it's important to recognize that extractive areas of the country are in greater problems. You mentioned the impact of the closure of a single pulp and paper mill in an area. You know, that's going to work out differently with your local economy than, for example, the effects of a tariff imposed that would have an impact on, you know, the lower mainland in BC.
Yeah, region to region, the ripples will absolutely be felt differently.
I mean, we've got a vast country and an amazingly diverse economy when you think about it. And yet, because of our continued dependence on the United States, you know, we're all, in a sense, at risk.
Participating in the Fall 2023 Global Friday Speaker Series, Dr. Kim Richard Nossel, Professor Emeritus in the Center for International and Defense Policy at Queen's University, will be presenting on November 24th on UNBC campus in room 7-152 near the Winter Garden, 12 noon to 1:30. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada. through the Local Journalism Initiatives program.